2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Thank you for being with us for the KSL Greenhouse Show. Maria Anton taking your questions this morning. We have a number of callers waiting. We have texters waiting. Always so many questions, and it feels like so little time. This show goes so quickly, Ton. I've never imagined how fast the show went.
It really does.
And I feel the pressure to try and help as many people as possible. Next listener is asking, we were talking about Bermuda grass, and it will be going dormant soon. And they want to know when they should get their last application of turf lawn ester down.
Soon. Because it will be going...
today?
Well, not today, because it's going to be 99, but mm-hmm. we're supposed to be back down into the 60s and 70s next week, and that would be a good time to do it.
Okay, let's go to our next caller, and that would be Cassie in Cottonwood. Good morning, Cassie.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call. I have a south-facing lawn that's really brown in patches, and it seems to happen every year about this time right along the concrete sidewalk. And it's a lot worse along the sidewalk, and I dug up some turf yesterday, and I found these little tiny C-shaped curled white critters that were like a 16th of an inch, and I didn't know if they were casts or they were live bugs. But the brown pulls up really easily, but the adjacent Kentucky bluegrass seems to be anchored. So my question is, what could be causing my lawn to turn brown and die in those spots? And then is there any treatment that I can apply now or soon to kill or control the problem?
Did you see any moths fly up as you were digging?
No.
Okay, so it wouldn't be a sod webworm moth or sod webworms causing it. And when you said you saw C-shaped things, did they look like little caterpillars or little grubs?
They did, but they were like a 16th of an inch. And I don't, they were so teeny. I should have had a magnifying glass, but they, so did they leave casts? I mean, weren't moving or anything.
No, not really. But okay. If that grass is pulling up almost like a carpet, or you can just yank it out without any problem.
Yeah, where it's brown, you can.
It may very well be that you have some insect problems in there. But Kentucky bluegrass billbug has a life cycle to where during late summer, it goes into a pupae and turns into an adult. And so it's not worth really treating through August and September for it, because you can't really kill anything. Mm-hmm. So the important time to get a preventative down is in the spring, sometime around May 15th would be when to put your preventative down next year. Now, if that grass for some reason is less healthy, you may want to look at if it's continually dying along the sidewalk. It could be that it's not getting enough water through July and August.
Well, not that. I can tell that because it's mottled. It's not because I've had areas where my irrigation doesn't really hit it, and I know what that looks
okay.
like.
Okay. So, and when you pull that up, it would come out up, and you would almost see just bare ground or just a lot
right.
of stubble.
Yeah.
And if that's happening, it's probably bluegrass billbugs or maybe white grubs. But in the spring, I would go ahead and do a treatment then.
So don't do anything now?
No, it'd just
okay.
be...
And what do you treat it with?
If you go to a garden center and tell them you need some grub preventative for your lawn, they will have a few things available. Or if you go to Home Depot, you can get like Scott's Grub X. That one's a pretty good product too.
Okay. What about that Bayer Advanced?
That's fine. The season-long Bayer Advanced, sometimes the active ingredient in it is imidacloprid is the name of it, and it sometimes peters out mid-season because it's sensitive to alkaline soil.
Oh.
And so if you've had bad problems, you may need to reapply it in July, but it's actually a decent product too.
Oh, okay. Okay. Could I ask you one quick question, another one?
A quick one.
I've had African marigolds every year, and the last 2 years, it's almost like they wilt and die. I've treated them for insects. I did snail and slug control, and they just, the leaves end up just, they look like they've been eaten, but yet they just shrivel up, and they're, and finally the plant is dead.
Okay, and
causing that.
What, it cut out for just a second, what kind of plant did you say it is?
There are those African marigolds.
Okay, so have you seen any grasshoppers on them?
No, no, and okay. I treated with that, what's it called, the grasshopper stuff that's organic that they eat, and it...
Nolo.
Nolo,
I would
yeah.
do, if it looks like an insect's chewing on it, I would just try a general insecticide.
And I trying... did that this year, but it just...
dead plants just means it's dead, and I can't really say, oh, it's this, without
right.
some pictures or more details.
Okay.
And so some pictures would be great. That Utah Gardening okay. Experts I mentioned earlier would
right.
be a good place to upload. Or,
okay.
But, yeah, I wish I could be more helpful, but
okay.
if you tried an insecticide and they're still shriveling up,
yeah.
that would point to maybe a fungal problem in the roots.
Mm. Okay.
You know, watering issues or something like that causing
okay.
it.
Well, I don't want to keep you longer. Thank you so much for your help.
Thank you so much for your call today. Robin is listening in Cache Valley. She's worried about the freezing temperatures, Ton. She's got pears that are not fully ripe on the tree, and they're still green, and she's wondering if she should pick them, or what do you suggest?
She needs to look at her weather. If it's going to stay above 29, 28 or 29, I would leave them alone, because about 28 degrees is your critical temperature.
Okay, because I would have thought 32, so.
Well, because of the sugars and things in the water in the tree, so in the fruit and in the leaves, 32 is the melting point of distilled water.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have contaminants in it, it will lower slightly. And because there's sugars and things, you really don't start to see a huge risk until you're around 28 degrees.
Okay, we have a number of people asking whether they can go ahead and plant bulbs this month.
Yes, get them in while it's warm. There's no reason to be out there in late October in a 40-degree rainstorm.
Okay, let's take a call from Mike in Pleasant Grove. Good morning, Mike.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call. Do you hear me?
Yes, go ahead. What's your question?
Yes, I have a fruitless mulberry, a weeping fruitless mulberry. It's about 10 years old, and it's a beautiful tree. It seems to be very healthy, and it has this beautiful canopy. And about a month or so ago, I went under the canopy and did some trimming, some of the branches that kind of sticking out the wrong way and some that were seemed to be dying. And I noticed afterward that I got a lot of sap running. And then there was a kind of a white stuff in the middle, right where the sap was oozing out. So I went ahead and sprayed it with what I had. I had some bonide tree spray. And that seemed to slow things down, and the white stuff went away. It seems to be healthy. Otherwise, is anything I need to be concerned about?
Well, you may have a disease in there called slime flux that a lot of trees can tolerate it for years and years, and it's not worth trying to cut it out. But mulberries in general, once you get them past about 3 or 4 years old, don't really like to have a lot of major pruning done on them. And so it's critical to train them when they're young to get your branches correct and then leave them alone. So, I mean, there's really, if it was slime flux, there's not much you can do about it. But if it seemed to go away, then I would just be patient and wait for spring and see what happens.
Okay. Yeah, otherwise it seems to be just fine. I have to trim a lot of dead, you know, branches every spring because that tree, the way it does it.
Yeah, and pruning dead branches out isn't a problem, but if you were to go in and cut 30 or 40% of the live branches out, then you may cause some problems.
Right, yeah. So, and I wanted to pay a compliment to the show. A couple of years ago, took your advice and used two correct problems with maple trees, and it worked great. As ever since, they grow, you know, very green and now very colorful.
Well, perfect. We're losing you, but thank you so much for that nice compliment. It's nice to know that our advice is working. Ton, before we take a break, someone just watched your bindweed video, and they're wondering how long you keep the Ziploc bags on the bindweed.
24 hours, and that's why I'm covering them to just keep them cooler so that it absorbs more of that Roundup that's in there. Somebody commented, like, this is practical to do all over my lawn. And I was like, you missed the point, buddy.
Oh, it's such a great
video.
For
flower beds for limited areas. And so if they did watch it, there are some eye drops you can use to help cure having to watch it.
Oh, stop.
So...
okay, for those folks who don't know what we're talking about, you've put together a bindweed video that's on the KSL Greenhouse
yes.
Facebook page, because that is a constant question, and we get a number of callers
every
week.
How do I get bindweed out of my flower beds?
Right. And you're going to do a new one soon, right?
We are.
On the lawn. Okay,
yes.
for the sarcastic commenters. All right. And you're listening to the KSL Greenhouse Show. Quick break. We'll be right back. Good morning, and thank you for joining us for the waning minutes of the KSL Greenhouse Show. Maria and Ton with you this morning. We have a listener in Springville, Ton. They've recently discovered cotton candy grapes, and they want to know if they can plant some in their yard, if they'll grow there, and where they can find that variety.
Well, they're patented, so you're probably not going to find them for a number of years. And depending on where they were bred, if they were bred in California, I don't know that they would be hardy here. So I think most of them are coming out of California that you find in the stores, and because they're on patent and you're paying $5 or $6 a pound for them, the people that bred them and are growing them find no reason to make them available to the general public.
So hopefully in the future on that one.
Yeah, it could be something like Mike Caron may know a little more about. He's USU's grape specialist, but the cotton candy grapes are under patent right now, and there's a very controlled amount of farms growing them to keep the price up.
Oh, boy. Let's take a call from Marlon in West Jordan. Good morning, Marlon. How can we help you?
This is a little bit late, but we've really had an infestation of these squash beetles or squash bugs, and you know, wiping out the squash plants. And but what can be done for next year? You know, to kind of get a little bit of a start on it.
Rotate where you put your squash will help maybe a bit, but they can easily walk across the yard even. So where they are a problem, you need to start monitoring in June through early July. And lifting up the leaves. And if you Google like USU and squash bugs, you can see what the egg sacs look like and what the premature, you know, that aren't the squash bugs that aren't adults look like. And if you'll do some control measures earlier in the season, you will have far fewer of them later on.
Okay. Once they get there, is there anything that will kill them?
There are a few sprays out there that will help control them, but you know, let's say you have a whole field of squash or 20 or 30 and this hand picking and things isn't just going to be practical, then you can try something, you know, registered 7's been used forever. And I almost wonder if they're resistant to it. There's some pyrethroid products out there like permethrin that if you can find some registered for gardens and just do a once and done spray, because permethrin and other related chemicals, if you repeatedly use them, will flare spider mites and other bad insects and things in your garden. So you need to be super careful. So if you needed to do a spray, I would just time it if you're at a critical point, but otherwise use monitoring whenever you can.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Thanks, Marlon, for your call. I'm going to try and squeeze Dave in here. Good morning, Dave. How can we help you this morning?
Oh.
Hi, Dave. How can we help you?
Sorry, I had to take it off of mute.
No worries.
I've got a great lawn in half a year, but I've got red clover that's starting to take over areas of my lawn. And it's got little yellow flowers, and I've never...
Oh, you don't have yellow red clover. You have probably black medic if it has yellow flowers.
Yeah, they look like dark red clover, just like green clover, but they're dark red.
If they have yellow, well, the other thing you actually could have in there is called wood sorrel or oxalis. I would Google oxalis because it looks a lot like clover, but it can have yellow flowers on it. So, and that's when you want to control, because each plant can produce hundreds of seeds through the season, and they can take over very quickly.
Okay, so spell that for me. How's that spelled?
O-X-A-L-I-S. Oxalis.
Uh-huh.
And just Google and do an image search on it. So how high are you mowing?
I leave the grass pretty high.
Okay, that's good. What I would do is spray them out this fall with a product called T-Zone, if you can find it. And it does need to be cooler when you spray, you know, preferably in the high 70s, low 80s, or a little cooler. T-Zone you would pick up, you are in Granite, so maybe Steve Regan, IFA, or if you are up in the Layton area, like J&J Nursery.
How is that spelled again?
Just the letter T and then dash zone. The other one you could use is called 4-Speed XT.
Okay.
Both of those have a product in them called Triclopyr, plus some other things that will help suppress or get rid of that. But in the spring, I would get a product made by Bayer Advance called Season-Long Broadleafed Weed Control. Mm-hmm. And that has a pre-emergent in it that is effective against broadleaf plants like oxalis and black medic and a few other things. And so, but make sure you're taking good care of your lawn, you're mowing high, you're watering less often but more deeply, you're fertilizing in the spring and fall. But that oxalis can go crazy very quickly.
All right, and thank you for your call. We are just about out of time on the KSL Greenhouse Show. Ton, it's been another fun week. I want to thank all of our texters for their great questions and our callers, and we're going to be back next week, 8 to 11.
Thank you very much. It was good.
Yeah, and check out the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page. You're going to find some great stuff there. We talked about clematis. In the 8 o'clock hour, you'll find some information on clematis there, and have a great week.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.